Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Astral Mind 2012. We're here with Roy. Roy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here tonight, I want to welcome all our callers and listeners for joining us tonight. We're looking forward to a great night and doing some readings and talking about 2012 and what's coming, you know, and the changes that are coming. I mentioned to you earlier, Adrian, I was reading an article about a guy who claimed that he spoke to one of the aliens from the Galactic Federation. And I guess what's going to happen was they claim that they want to take 20 people onto their mothership, and they're going to let them take cameras and pictures and, you know, prove that, you know, that they do exist and bring that back to Earth. When they return, they're going to be there for 10 days. They're taking 20 people with them. To me, that would be amazing trip. They're going to go into the different parallels and dimensions, and I think, you know, that would be amazing. Just being present, you know, in one of these spaceships. And what's your feelings on that, Adrian?
Well, it's kind of interesting, Roy. Earlier today, somebody was recently taking pictures of me, and I think that some of these races, I think, are also very interested in us as humans. And I think that they have, I've always had the idea, like the movie where they put on the glasses and they see the aliens walking around, but they're in human form. It reminds me of that, where they have these teleportations where they're able to go and come from their planet to our planet. And I think that the government knows about it, and I think that the aliens have their own secret passageways through the walls. And I think that's why a lot of people are missing. You know, you notice a lot of missing people. It's because they're going back to their planet, and more of these races are going back to their planet, and they go and come all the time. So what do you get with that, Roy?
You know, that's so interesting because, you know, we're all part of the universe. You know, how can we think that we're the only beings, you know, in the universe? You know, I think these alien races, you know, have been around for thousands, if not billions of years, and now we're just starting to get a better understanding. You know, why is it that, you know, a lot of people are reporting more UFO sightings? You know, they're hearing a lot of strange sounds all around the world. There's even people that have seen motherships before. I think, again, you know, I think, you know, they're here, you know, they made contact, and, you know, I think they've just been observing, and, you know, and that's why a lot of them are here. But I think this year, during 2012, there's going to be some exposure, that we're going to learn more about them, and so that, you know, why they're here. And And they claim that they're here to bring us love, you know, to, you know, they're not here to take anything away from us or from our planet. They're just here to help us in any way and give us knowledge. And I think that's great. What's your feelings about that, Adrian?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, on that movie about those people that were aliens, one of the aliens told the people, or one of the humans told the people, he says, they're not a threat to us, and we can learn stuff from them. We can learn things from them. And so I think that, the biggest thing is Hollywood making so much money on making them look so evil that we can't learn from things from them, that they are a threat to our government. And absolutely, they're not a threat. We're just here to learn from them, and they're here to learn from us. And it's always been that way. And I think that a few of these races that have sent us here on this earth was for us to learn from them. And one of the things that we need to learn from them is a few things that Dolores Cannon has been talking about. And I think that she has a lot of great messages. I just wanted to share that.
You know, and that's interesting because, you know, why is it that a lot of people, you know, are bringing this information forward, you know? You know, why are people, opening up to these new ways, new ideas, you know, new technologies? I think, you know, they claim that they've, you know, gave us a lot of these technologies and we've, you know, and people have turned and used them for, you know, all the wrong reasons. And main thing is, you know, a lot of this information is being brought forward, and now that we're in the year, you know, of the 2012, you know, a lot of truth and disclosure is going to be, you know, opened up, and people are going to find out and wake up, and they're going to see what really is going on. Just like in the movie Wizard of Oz, you know, we're going to find out who is behind that curtain. And that'll be interesting.
Well, you know, yeah. I think subconsciously we all know who is behind the curtain, and I think that curtain is our conscious brain telling us that we're afraid, that we don't want to know what's behind the curtain. And I think that for a lot of people that will be exposed to this will be afraid, like the man that was on our show last night asking all these questions, you know, saying he don't believe. And that was a feeling that I got from him, is that he was afraid because of all the changes that are going on in the world. And a lot of people are going to be like that. They're going to, and when they see Christ, they will deny him, just like Satan did. And you know, and it's going to become to that point where they're going to have to choose, you know. But they also got to break that control too. That what they do wrong is part of the human control, and I think that we're just learning to break that control. We're learning to break the programming. We've come here to experience from right and wrong, from dark and light, from love and hate. And I think that for us as humans, we have to learn from these other species and how they live their lives, so we can live it the same way. You know, we can have a harmonious life or we can have a sad life. And I think with all those experiences, I think it's wonderful, because one thing I can agree with what Satan did say, he said that in the movie, he said that your mind is so vulnerable that you can't handle the truth. And that is very true, because as humans, we cannot handle the truth that is going to be exposed or will be revealed. And there's a lot more deeper things that will be discovered. That's just my feeling on it.
That's interesting, because a lot of it is, you know, what mind are we using? Are we using the conscious mind, or are we using the unconscious mind? And the unconscious mind already knows the truth. It already has that connection, you know, with the higher conscious or the super conscious. And that's, you know, the connection that we have, you know, with our higher source, you know, with the universe. So mainly is people are going to, you know, it's going to be an awakening. You know, a lot of people are not going to know how to look at, you know, in that way. Main thing is, you know, they'll feel it with their heart. So know, you know, that warm, you know, that they have in their heart, that they know that it is the truth. You know, the main thing
is... Well, you know, it's interesting. I even got a message from Magneto on X-Men. He said that he told Beast that these people, like the government and all these people, they are not there to be your friend. And he says, they must be destroyed. And he says that we have to show them a good example that we are not a threat to mankind. So to me, you know, you have to look at it both ways. Magneto was telling the truth that there are people like the government that don't care, and then there's a side of them that does care, and that side, these people with these abilities, like the Star Children, their job is to let him know that there can be peace, there can be love, there can be unconditional love, and that we can all accept one another. But if, you know, like Magneto says, he says that they're the enemy. You know, I mean, what, how do you, how would you choose between those two concepts? How would you see between those two concepts?
And that's interesting, because we've talked about, you know, these messages that come from movies. A lot of it is, you know, opening up our minds to these messages and how they relate to, you know, what's going on now, you know, in the reality that we're in. The main thing is that we can all, you know, create that reality, you know, of living a, you know, peaceful, joyous life, you know, more love, you know, and people showing, you know, how much they do care. The main thing is not, you know, falling under the doom and gloom and, you know, and all the, you know, negative people who feel that there is no hope. You know, there is light, you know, at the end of the tunnel, and we must all, you know, focus in that direction. Do we have any callers tonight, Adrian?
There is. Let's see here. There's no callers right now, Roy.
Okay. It mainly is, you know, opening up to, you know, the, again, you know, all these messages that we get, whether it be on the internet or, you know, other guest speakers. And, you know, and to allow, you know, this information to come forward, you know. A lot of people try to make, you know, these people look like they're crazy, you know, and that's, you know, what, you know, these societies want to do. You know, they don't want the truth to come forward. And what's your feelings on that?
Well, it's very true, and I also wanted to get into a little bit on the subject of soul collages, too, on that there is other parallel entities, which is we call archetypes, that we can also work with, which is kind of cool, too, because there's not just aliens, there's not just angels, but there's also multiple streams of archetypes that are out there that we can also communicate with. And just by picking out a picture from these magazines, it's very interesting because you can pick out any picture and you can connect with that picture. You won't know why, but you just connect with it. And so you just pick out a picture and then you connect with that archetype and you start channeling. You start talking to this pitcher, which is really
cool.
Could
you give an example of what that pitcher could be?
Well, that pitcher could be anything. It's you don't want to, when you pick out a pitcher at a magazine, you don't want to pick out anything specific. You want to go in and pick out a pitcher that stands out to you, you know, the feeling. And when you do, you cut a pitch out from an old man to a movie star to a monster to a fairy, whatever it is that you connect with, and you can communicate with that pitcher, which is really cool.
And now, would you say that that's similar to picking out a special crystal, if you had a bunch of crystals?
It would be very similar, like picking out a crystal, yes, because you're picking it out by your feeling, about what you're feeling that day. And it could be a different stone every day. It doesn't have to be necessarily a crystal quartz. It could be a stone. It can be anything, you know. It's like if you go to a store and you pick out a shirt, you know, and you say, what kind of shirt do I want to wear today? Do I wear a sweater? Do I wear a shirt with pictures on it? Do I wear color? You know, I mean, it's all about the feeling.
So would you say that it's something that you resonate with?
And I would say it's also something you resonate with, yes.
Okay.
Even when you go shopping for a car.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
why is it that,
the car,
you know, when we do certain things that it seems like there's something there special for us, you know, that it's been waiting for us. All we have to do is just pick out, you know, whatever that is, that special something is.
It's like the idea is not knowing what you're going to pick out.
Right.
That's the interesting part. It's like going hunting and looking for whatever underneath the ground.
Like going on a treasure hunt.
Yeah, with a beeper.
Yeah.
And
it's funny because we're the beeper, you know, we're the metal detector, we're the treasure find, you know, hunters. And we find
exactly.
Those. Yeah.
And that's what it's like. And when you pull out that picture, don't even think about it. Just go by your feelings.
Yeah.
Don't get all left brain and conscious about it. Just go by your feeling with your subconscious mind.
Great. So once you
and
do get the pictures,
what designed to be so collaborative,
what do you,
she said.
What do you do with these pictures?
Well, when you make your pictures, add different pictures into it. You know, like if you feel like, oh, today I feel like I connect with this child. And you take out the picture of a child, so you feel like you want to connect with your inner child. Then you feel like you want to connect with your heart chakra. So you pick out a picture that relates to your heart chakra. Could be a lion. Could be a snake. It could be anything. Could be a cat. Could be
a
dog.
So what are you doing with these pictures? Are you gluing them onto a card? Are you making a card deck, or what are you doing?
And that's another thing, is you want to get a blank deck of cards, and you want to get a frame and cut out the pictures, and then paste the pictures onto the card. And when you do that, it'll make a story by the time you get all the little white spaces filled in with pictures. Don't even leave one space in the card. Just cut them out and make your card on how you feel that day.
So once you put, like, how many cards do you need? You know, 4 or 5 or 6 or 10?
You can make as many as you want. There's no limit.
So mainly whatever you feel would be good for you.
Exactly. And you don't want to just pick out anything specific. It's basically all about the feeling. What do you feel that day? What are you thinking that day? You know, what's on your mind? And it's not about picking out anything specific, because that's boring.
And that's what a collage is like, putting art together and creating
mm-hmm.
something, and, you know, making it look like a picture, you know.
And a lot of artists, you know, they don't draw things that are on their mind. They just draw whatever they feel.
Yeah.
Because artists go by, it's interesting. Now, this is interesting because I was watching this movie called Warlock. And the warlock told this guy, he says, artists don't know what they think. Artists only know what they feel.
Mm.
See, and so, therefore, you're going by your feelings.
Yeah.
Because an artist don't think. He only goes by his feelings. And that's what the warlock told the lady. Told the guy.
That's
so talk about feelings. Talk about what they like. You know,
yeah.
And when you talk about feelings, you pretty much have them.
So how would cards like this help somebody if they had an addiction, like a drug addiction or something?
Well, then you got to think about what would be a magazine that would help to break that addiction. You know, and have them pick out a picture that they think that would break that addiction,
mm-hmm.
to break that craving. And they'll get that image in their subconscious mind, and they'll work with it. And the more they work with it, the more they break that addiction.
Hmm. Now, is this something that's coming, you know, from them? Is it part of their subconscious mind? Is this something that's coming from a deeper part of them? You know,
I would say it's coming from their higher selves. It's coming from their higher selves. It's coming from their, like you say, subconscious mind. They're giving them a subconscious suggestion, an image to focus on, instead of focusing on the cigarette and the feeling and how it makes them feel, and to help them escape. And that'll break the addiction.
That's interesting. So
it's interesting how an image can do that.
Yeah. But, you know, you've heard the saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
That's very true. It is.
So, you know, we know how powerful a picture can be.
Well, we also know how powerful cartoons can be, too.
Yeah. Well, look at, here's a good example, the movie industry. How many, you know, how has that affected people over the past, you know, 40, 50 years?
Exactly.
You know. A lot of people, you know, love to, you know, watching movies. They love letting their mind expand and become either part of that character or part of the role, you know, of the story, you know, that's being told.
Well, you know, even though a lot of these movie places are going out of business, if you look at Blockbuster Video, they're still open, and the reason why they're still open is because Redbox doesn't have everything that everybody wants.
Yeah.
But you still have to have a variety, and if you have a variety, that'll be enough to keep you in business.
Mm-hmm.
It's about variety. It's about creativity. It's about the feeling. What do I feel? Today.
Well, remember I mentioned to you that a lot of what's hurting businesses right now is they have to be more creative.
They have to offer
something that nobody has to offer.
Exactly. They have to have a variety.
Yeah.
You have to have old movies, like back in 1983 or back, you know how it's hard to get all these old horror movies and old horror action movies?
Yeah.
And the only way you could find them is at the library, and people are getting so sick and tired of going to the library because they have to pay $800 a worth in fines. Well,
yeah,
they have to come up with a better system.
Yeah.
So people can have that variety.
That's true.
You know, because if I had a video store, mine would be older movies versus newer movies.
Yeah.
And that gives people a variety, and then they can go back to their...
I mean, how many people have talked about old movies, but they don't have no way of finding these movies? They're just not available anymore. Yeah.
The only way you can find them is at the library.
Yeah. If you're lucky, if they're not damaged or something.
Exactly. So VHS would be your best bet, because DVD is always getting scratched.
Yeah.
But we do have one caller to call in, Roy. We have one from the 111 area.
Yeah.
You're on the air with Roy and Adrian. Hello. Hello?
You're coming in sort of broken.
I'm just listening.
Hello.
I'm just listening.
You're getting a weak signal.
I'm just listening.
Adrian,
is
could you
Shannon?
Hear?
Shannon, is that you?
I'm just listening.
Well, you're just listening. We're sorry. We thought maybe you wanted a reading or something tonight. But we're getting pretty close to the end of our show, and again, we want to invite all our callers and listeners back to our show. And is there anything else that you wanted to share, Adrian?
Well, I just wanted to share that even with artists, I think that even an artist, a professional artist, can also get in touch with these other dimensions too. Like if they had the feeling of drawing the picture of a doorway, and maybe that door on the other side is how they feel, you know. So it's
interesting you'd bring that up, because it reminded me of the movie. Who was that one? Where he was a music composer. What's the name
Hall?
Of that movie? Yeah. Remember that he was telling that girl about playing music.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he tell her?
He said, play the sunset. Because she told him that she was the only screw up in her family and that she couldn't play an instrument. And he said, when you look in the mirror, what do you see about yourself that makes you happy? She said, my hair. And she said, why your hair? Because my father used to tell me that it was like the sunset. And Mr. Holland said, play the sunset. Close your eyes and play it.
Mm-hmm.
So she closed her eyes. She started playing the flute while he played the piano. And she started playing. And she was so happy. She got so excited. And he told her to continue. He said, continue playing. So a lot of it is, would you say it's a subconscious suggestion, really, that he was using, some form of hypnosis?
Well, not only that, but he was giving her a vision. He was giving her something to relate to, something that would you know, bring that out of her, you know, so that she can make that connection with music.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, just like the soul collage cards, I think, you know, that's what they do, you know, is by bringing that out, you know, allowing that feeling or whatever they might be experiencing in their lives, you know.
You know how you said that a picture is worth a thousand words?
Yeah.
You know where that movie came from, like when you said that?
What's that?
1 hour photo.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said that on that movie. He said a picture
said
is worth a thousand words.
Yeah.
So that's funny. I just started thinking about that when he was making,
yeah.
when he was taking the pictures.
Yeah.
He said a picture is worth a thousand words, and
yeah,
it speaks to our soul.
Mhm.
He said, "What is the first thing people do when their house is on fire? They take family photos."
Yeah. That's true.
So, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it is. Well,
that's true.
You know,
what
that,
do people do, you know, when they lose everything? They hold on to their memories.
Mm-hmm.
And they start taking pictures of everything.
Well, it's almost like you're freezing time. And that's all that pictures are.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a certain time, certain place, certain person, or special, you know, some special, you know, occasion, you know, a birthday, you know, somebody
mm-hmm.
getting married, you know, whatever.
Right.
And that's what, you know, that's interesting.
How does a person feel, really, when they're on an elevator?
How do they feel?
Yeah, what's going through their mind when they're on an elevator?
Well, if a person was on an elevator for the first time, it would scare them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't know, you know, what this elevator was doing.
Right. And then there's other people that get temperamental.
Mm.
Or they get upset. Or they might have something going on in their mind that,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're upset with, you know.
But then there's some people that are